Well, all right. All right. If you'll make your way back into the sanctuary, we're about to get started. We have a special treat for you guys today. If you're new with us, my name is Pastor Will Harper. My wife and I are the pastors of the Stillwater campus of Victory Life Church. But you're not here to hear from me today. We're in a series called The Gift of Belonging. And what we've been doing is we've been having, how many of you are thankful for a great leadership team that we have on this campus? We have a great lead team. And then there are grow team leaders that are just phenomenal. God has done such a work on this campus. Backing up even into COVID, we started this campus, everybody look around. We started this campus during COVID. When all the churches were closed, that's when we planted this church. And if you just look around, man, God's been so faithful. Hasn't he been faithful, guys? And so in the series, we're talking about the gift of belonging. You're a gift to your church, and your church is a gift to you. And what we've done is we've called up different leaders and had them share their story about what belonging to the church did for them in their life. And today is no different. So I would like to welcome a very good friend of mine, a member of the leadership team, the lead team here on our campus, and he's also over the media and multimedia sections, the online church. Would you stand up on your feet? Let's give honor where honor is due, and let's welcome Jason Sullivan to the stage. So, Jason, what do you call a call a factory that just makes adequate products, so products?
I don't know.
That's called a satisfactory.
Oh my gosh. When he asked me to speak, he didn't clear his jokes with me. I just want to know. I'm not a part of that. I didn't okay that. Oh my gosh. God is good. Who feels that this morning? As Pastor Will said, I do our online, I do our social media. We have an active online presence. If you don't know about that, you can stay connected to us throughout the week. I'm going to mess up our website name, but hopefully it's on the screen behind me. victorylife.media. I'm going to mess that up. Darren will get it on the screen here soon, but we're on Instagram. We are on Facebook. We have women's groups on there. There is something for everybody. We post our announcements. All of our messages, our message notes, the things I talk about this morning, you can look at those online in the message notes. So stay connected to us throughout the week. Sunday's the first day of my week, and it's not I come and I do Jesus on Sunday morning and then I'm done, right? That's not what it is. We work toward having a personal relationship with Jesus, and that's every day of the week. And speaking of social media, so I'm on it quite a bit, and I'm friends with many of you on there, and I see what some of y'all post. Who was in youth in like the late 80s or 90s and remember our bracelets? What was on our bracelets? What would Jesus do? Some of y'all, before you hit post or hit send, need to wonder what Jesus would do, okay? Some of those words aren't filled with love. Some of those words aren't life-giving. And I know we can do better, okay? Does that sound good? So speaking of, it's Pastor Melissa's birthday this week. And yeah. And we're not going to sing to her or anything. In fact, Mr. George asked me, since I had a microphone, as I was going to sing this morning, and I said, that would be a good way for them to never let me on stage ever again. But Pastor Melissa has a sharp sense of humor. Some of y'all may not know that. And I would like to share a picture that she tagged me in a while back, and I've been saving this moment, and it says, when your friend is 1 year older than you. We are not that far apart in age, but she burned me pretty good, and I had a good chuckle about that. So your birthday is this week, and I think you get closer to my age with that birthday, something like that. So just a little bit? Okay. So I'm just teasing. So we're going to talk about responsibility today. When you belong, you have responsibilities. And the church has responsibilities to you, and we as a body have responsibilities to those around us and to the church. So Pastor Will, for the last few months, has us follow age-old, not just Christian, but also a Jewish tradition of standing when we read the Word of God. And I'll say all this after I read the passage, but I'm going to ask everyone to stand if you're able to stand. And if you're at home, if you're watching online, you're a part of this service. You can stand too. If you're on your couch or you're in your bed, stand with us, okay? So I'm going to read the Word of God, and then I'm going to say, this is the Word of the Lord, and I want everybody to respond, praise be to God. And I'll go over that at the end also. So let's read Luke 4:16-22. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read, just like we're doing right now. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. You all may be seated. Thank you. We're going to talk a little bit about my testimony today. We're going to talk a little bit about the book of Isaiah. That's one of my favorite books of the Bible. But I started with this, not just because it references the book of Isaiah, but it literally shows us something Jesus did that we should attain to. It shows us something Jesus did that we can model after. And the most important thing it shows us is Jesus accepted his responsibility. Every day of his life, he accepted his responsibility that he was born and he was going to die for our transgressions. And in between then, he was going to proclaim the good news. And he did it every day. So as we talk about responsibility in my testimony this morning, let's start with prayer. Father God, rest on us this morning, Lord. Come rest on us, Jesus. We want to embrace you. Lord, we don't have to invite you in this space. We know you're already here. And we know your good works, and we thank you for them, and we look forward to the things to come and the ways we get to glorify your name. Lord, for those that are struggling this morning, for those that are hurting, may your word be a light to their feet. May it warm their hearts. May it guide their path. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're a holler back church, right? Like Pastor Will says, so make certain you give me some feedback. If you don't like something I say, melissa.harper@complaintdepartment.com. That's not it? Okay. You can tell Kaida. We haven't picked on Kaida for a few weeks from the stage. So right over there, you can tell Kaida if you don't like something I say. So, and I want to say something about our Connect cards. I know you all can't see this because I'm way up here, but my daughter filled out a Connect card this morning. She gave us a praise report. It says, "I love church." Right? If a five-year-old can do that, if a five-year-old can fill out your blue Connect card, everybody in here can too, okay? And I'd like to think maybe that's her parenting, but that's more about her. So, I'm also going to tell everybody exactly how service is going to go today. Now, we yield to the Holy Spirit around here, okay? So sometimes while we do have an order of service, sometimes things change. But today I'm going to tell you exactly how it's going to go. I'm going to share a little bit from the book of Isaiah. I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony. At the end, I'm going to ask Pastors Will and Melissa to come up, and they're going to close for us, and we're going to have a ministry time. And what that means is there's more than one of you in this place that needs some prayer this morning. There's more than one of you in this place that needs to get something off your heart and off your mind. There's more than one of you here that we need to connect you to some resources to help you with something. And I don't know what that something is, but it's something that you either need to get out of your life or something you need to bring into your life to make your life better. And same way, yeah. If you're watching us online, same thing. I'd like to shout out Faith, who's live stream commenting for us this morning. Thank you. You need a resource or something you need prayer, hop on there, click those links, let us know, let us so we can connect with you and get you what you need, okay? Our series, The Gift of Belonging, I love the different aspects this has taken, and I am not the first, nor will I be the last person that Pastor Will's going to come to and say, we need to hear your testimony this week. We need you up here to share what God's placed on your heart, okay? So I loved when Mike and Carrie spoke a few weeks ago. It's like we were on their front porch visiting with them, right? They were in the chairs, and it was very conversational, and I love that. We got to see a different side of how God works in people's lives, and I love that. And today, it's going to be a little bit different than our regular service, but that's okay. The Holy Spirit's going to work, okay? The back of our room. Everybody knows what it says back there, right? If you don't know, you can turn around and look. And if you're at home, I'm going to tell you. It says, you belong here. Who watched Jubilee or who attended Jubilee? Right? Yeah, Jubilee was good. And I'm going to paraphrase what Pastor Jacob said. But he said, you belong before you believe. And you belong before you behave. And that's okay. Yeah, yeah. You're not watching this on accident. You're not attending. You're not sitting in here on accident. God is calling to you today. And I'm going to talk about what that call is and how that looks. But when I say the word responsibility a few minutes ago, I saw it and I could feel it. Some of y'all did this. Got a little, oh man, he's wanting me to be responsible for something. I don't know if I like that. That's okay because we're here to partner with you. You're not alone in this. We're a church family. We're not church friends. We're not church acquaintances. We're not just random people that rub shoulders, right? We're a church family. I didn't know that Carrie was going to talk about iron sharpening iron, right? But it's funny how God works all that out, right? Because some of us, we need a little bit of sharpening. We're not perfect. I'm not up here because I'm perfect. I'm going to tell a story on myself. This happened literally yesterday. The lead team, and if you don't know who your lead team is here at church, Mike and Marnie Scobie, Pastor Will and Melissa, Pastor Wally and Brenda, and myself, we serve on the lead team. And there was a question posed in our little group chat. What does someone think about this? And I was cleaning up lunch with my daughter, so I just responded real quick. This is what I think about that question. And I can't make this up. Pastor Will responded and said the exact opposite of what I said. And I was like, and he didn't just say the exact opposite, but he explained why. And my next response was, I agree. I submit to my pastor. I didn't even think of it the same way you're thinking of it. That's being responsible. That's being responsible. Wait, Jesus gives us grace. We got to pay attention to the wisdom part of things, right? Because when you belong here, the church is a gift. And guess what? You're a gift too to the church. Yeah. You're not here by accident. There's someone here who needs to interact in your life. There's someone here who needs to learn something from you. And vice versa. You're here because there's someone who needs to hear your story. Gifts don't come with stipulations though, right? A gift should not come with the stipulation, but they do come with expectations. If I buy my daughter a toy, I expect that toy to work. I expect it to be safe and to not injure her, right? Same way here at church, there's expectations. It's not easy to serve at church. You might have to, you know, wake up a few minutes earlier. You might lose a little bit of sleep. you might gain a new friend. I loved it a few weeks ago on Father's Day when Calvin talked about the Holy Spirit will just ask him to go pray for somebody. And he said people have looked him in the eye and been like, no, I think that's awkward. Don't pray for me. But he said that I believe that was a lesson amount of fingers he has that's happened to him. Normally people are like, you can pray for me. That would really mean a lot. But the opposite is true too. If you're not involved in church, if you're not interacting with those that Carrie talked about, those people that are like-minded and seeking God's face, if you're not doing those things, that's hard too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not easy to keep the church at arm's length because it's going to make your life hard.
Come on.
It's not going to be easy.
Come on, that's good.
It's a hard choice to stay distant and not be connected to the body of believers. So my message is called Choose Your Hard, because we're talking about responsibility. And when there's responsibilities, there's hard things attached to that. Yeah. It doesn't mean there's not blessing and gratitude and wonderful things on the other side of that, but sometimes it's hard. Being a believer is hard. I have a very superficial reason to tell you that the book of Isaiah is one of my favorites in the Bible. And the superficial reason is this, is I just really like the language. This is my Bible. My mom gave me this Bible when I was 12 years old. And it's the NIV version. And I just really love the language in there. And I think one of the reasons I've just always been attached to that too is it kind of gives me a little bit of synopsis and breakdown. And it describes the book of Isaiah in my Bible in the NIV version that says, it unveils the full dimensions of God's judgment and salvation. So God is going to judge sin, but there's salvation. That's the important part, right? And once again, shout out for Jubilee, and all those links are online. And if you want to get connected to all the Jubilee messages and you don't know where to find that stuff, you can come ask me after service. But I believe it was Wednesday night, Pastor John Donnelly from Scotland spoke. And he said, since he works internationally, so he's from Scotland, he goes to Great Britain, he comes to the U.S., I know he travels all over, and he said everywhere he goes, people always ask him, you know, Pastor, with your experience, what version of the Bible do you tell Christians to read? And his answer was two words, the Bible.
Yeah.
I tell people to read the Bible. Some of us need to not get hung up on the version, right? Some of us are new believers and you're going, wow, there's like 20 versions of this. What do I read? What do I do? Don't get hung up on that. Just read the Bible. And vice versa, if you're a longtime believer and you're going, wow, I think I need different perspective. I need this, I need that. Just read your Bible. Just get in your Bible, right? Okay. I want to talk about Isaiah's commission. Isaiah 6, 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me, right? Friday at 5:59 p.m., I did not know I was speaking this morning. And then all that changed at Friday at 6 p.m. And Pastor Will can vouch for me. He said, hey, we've had this scheduling thing happen, and this has popped up, and this, can you speak? And I said two things. I said, here's what I've got, because I keep ongoing notes for stuff like this. And then the second thing I said was, yes, I'll speak.
Yeah.
Because the Lord has something to impact you today.
Yes.
The Lord is impacting me. This is a growth opportunity for me, but the Lord has something to impact your hearts and your minds today. In fact, it may impact your family. It may impact your workplace. You may need to quit drinking alcohol. That get a little too close to somebody? Maybe you need to be a better employee. Maybe you need to be serving at church. And for other people, it's something completely opposite. Maybe there's something the doctor's telling you to do and you're just flat out refusing to do it. And maybe you need to do it. Responsibility looks different for everyone.
Yeah, that's good.
But guess what? It doesn't just impact you. It impacts those around you. So I work on campus at University Health Services. I'm not a doctor. Don't ask me about your rash or anything like that, okay? So I work in the business office. And it's probably not a coincidence that in my life, I ended up working in healthcare. See, when I was born, doctors ripped apart my rib cage to save my life. I was born with a hole in my heart. They call it a congenital heart defect. And almost died, right out of the gates. I wasn't born whole, I wasn't born complete. I was literally born with a broken heart. And over the years, through multiple surgeries, multiple procedures, I'm fixed. By the grace of God, I'm standing here before you all today. But that took years to get through, and I was very small. I don't remember 95% of that stuff. I was very small. I was very young. So you got to put yourself in the shoes of, say, my parents, my parents' friends, my grandparents, family members, stuff like that, that they're like, look at this blessing we have, and it could get ripped away from us at any moment. Okay? One time about 12 years ago, I'd really screwed up in life. And I was having to call all my family and friends and tell them about how I had screwed up. And I called my dad, and I told him what had happened. And I just sat down. I'm not even going to lie. I just sat down because I knew that chewing was coming. He was just going to tear into me. And he did, rightfully so. For about 3 hours, and I can't tell you anything my dad told me that day, except one thing he told me. He said, when you were young and little and sick, I woke up every night and went and put my hand on your chest to feel if you were breathing or not. Because if you stopped breathing in the middle of the night, I wanted to find you so your mother wouldn't find you. Chills, right? My dad was choosing his hard. He was choosing something so someone else could avoid some unnecessary pain, some unnecessary problems. And there's probably a message there about laying hands on too, right? No one should have to even consider that responsibility, but he chose that responsibility. He chose the hard thing to do. Multiple doctors, multiple procedures. God is good. I'm healed. I grow up. And who in here grew up in the church? Who grew up in church? And who in here, when you got to be a teenager, maybe you forgot some of those lessons? Thank you for all you honest people. Some of y'all, you need to come pray at the end. I don't think you're, no, just teasing. So, the worst part was I turned my back. Right? God never stopped loving me. God knew who he made me to be, even though I turned my back. And he never stopped loving me. And other than that being the worst part, I forgot who I was. I forgot who I belonged to, the person he created me to be. I forgot my community of believers. I forgot my responsibility to those people. Because we've all been there, right? I'll sleep in this morning. I've had a long week. I don't need to go to church. That happens once or twice, then it's a habit, right? The worst part was I was simply ignoring Jesus. And I'm ashamed to say that, but it's just true. I just think God understands me. God does understand me. I was still choosing to ignore him.
That's good.
Sometimes we forget we have so much in common with our Lord because we are made in his image that we think he's this high and mighty, ethereal thing in the sky, right? And he is. But he's so much more than that, too. He walked this earth. He got sand in his slippers just like we do. He smiled and laughed and was sad with people, just like we have. We have more in common than we think we do. He knows us. He knows our hearts. In Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, to us a child is born. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, I would probably argue is a fairly famous Bible verse. You hear it a lot at Christmas, sometimes at Easter, you know. There's probably some stores down on Perkins Road that have it on some little canvases that you can hang on your wall. And that's fine, well, good, and great. But I want to focus on a part of this, the very last sentence. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let's look at the word zeal real quick. Noun. Passionate enthusiasm for or dedication to a cause, belief, undertaking, a vehement eagerness. Or if you use it as a verb, it's transitive. To pursue an objective, such as a person, with zeal or passionate enthusiasm, to be zealous in support of a cause, a belief, a person. So God gave us his one and only son and allowed the world to take him away to fulfill scripture so he could be connected to us. Because Jesus pursues us with passionate enthusiasm. I don't know if very many of us can imagine that. How awesome is that? But what belief are you dedicated to this morning? What are you doing with your responsibility of loving God and loving Jesus and pursuing him? He's zealous over us. He wants us so badly to have a relationship with him. You know, one thing I think is our responsibility is to mirror that same zeal. And I'll tell you what, when I need an attitude check in life, if I'm having a bad perspective or a bad attitude about things, and I'm like, man, I need to go pray. Every time I pray, I say, Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours. And you know what he tells me every time? My people. My people. My friends, my family, my church family. Every time. My people. Pursue them. Help them to see my face. Victory Life Church exists to see people transformed by Jesus. That's a beautiful phrase, but it's so accurate. Amen. That's what we want here. That's what we want for all of you and your families. So I grew up, I was what they call a transfer student. So I went to college 2 years at Southwestern Oklahoma State in Weatherford. And I transferred up here to OSU. And I've been in Stillwater over 22 years. And I call Stillwater home. It's where I've lived the longest. But once again, I'm not always making the best decisions I should make all along that way. And I'm placating myself by saying, well, God understands. It's okay. God understands. And I've made some bad decisions with alcohol. And I've had to face some of those consequences. And I want to go back to Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. This is a Bible verse that my mom chose and prayed over me multiple times in my life. And it's titled, Comfort for God's People. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. See, that verse applies to my life because I once had to have a procedure called a balloon angioplasty. My heart wasn't pumping right. The veins weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. So I couldn't walk across the stage without being out of breath. My body wasn't living up to what it was supposed to be, so it needed some help. Nowadays, I have to make certain I do the same with my mind, my spirit, my heart. Keep it in check with God. Make certain it's doing what it's supposed to be doing. Because see, every time I stumbled, God chose that zeal for me every time in my life. Every time in my life. So, like I said, I had really messed up 12 years ago. I'm just not happy in life. I'm not in a good place. And some of you all may know, but Brent and Juliet Newcomb down at our Chandler campus, the worship pastors there, Juliet comes up to my office, and she just said, you know, what are you doing for Easter? And I didn't have plans. I said, I don't have any plans. I'm not going home for church or anything like that. And she said, you know, you should really come to church with Brent and I. We'll save a seat up front for you. We'll be leading worship, but you should really come to church with us. And I finally made a good decision. I said yes. And now, many of the people in this room are some of my best friends. I can call on them any day or night. They will help me. They will support me. They'll love me. But even better, they'll hold me accountable to stuff. That's that complaint department, Melissa.Harper thing. But so, because we all need those people in our life. And in fact, some of us, some of you in here, you probably need some love right now. We need to be careful. We need the right kind of love, right? We don't want to confuse, you know, attention for affection or vice versa or anything. But some of us, we need some real connection. We need some real love. And then the next thing you need is some accountability. Because love does have barriers built out of love. As I mentioned earlier, wonderful little daughter. She loves church. I love her so much. I'm so blessed by her. I'm a single dad. I don't like standing up here having to tell you that. I'm a divorced single dad, but it's a fact of my life. And I don't shy away from that because I know I'm not the only person in this room like that. And church is a hospital. We can share our things that are broken.
Come on.
One of my purposes in life is to be her father. It's probably my greatest responsibility. And I'll tell my job that. I'll tell people in this room that. I tell my family that. Being her father is my most important responsibility I accomplish every day. Because I have that zeal for her. That same zeal that Jesus has for you. I want to see, she just went back to school. I want to see her learn. I want to see her grow. It makes my heart burst. I want to make certain the decisions I'm making, because even though she's very young, can still impact her. So I want to make certain I'm making good decisions so she is allowed to become the person Jesus created her to be. That is my responsibility. You know, we talked about your responsibility in choosing your heart, because it's hard to serve in church. Sometimes it's hard. Pastor Will talks about it, right? Sometimes it's hard just driving with your family to church, right? Or maybe you have the opposite scenario. Maybe it's hard to drive to church because you're in that car alone, right? That's okay. Because there's another way to say, choose your heart. And it's choose your love. What do you love? What are you pursuing with zeal? Or vice versa, what's something you should be pursuing and loving in your life and you're not doing it? Because you're letting drugs or alcohol or bad relationships or something else get in the way. God chooses us every day. Jesus died for us. What a way to show love, right? Pastor Will always says, read the next verse, right? So because the scripture isn't just a cutesy little phrase that we get to put on a t-shirt or anything like that, right? Like, they're life-giving words. So I want to read John 3:16 through 18 to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. You belong here. You belong here, and you belong here. Here in a few moments, we're going to invite the ministry team down. If you need prayer, connect with these people. I'm going to be up here, high fives, hugs, handshakes, prayer. Don't leave this place today without either making that decision to give up whatever it is that's in your way, or the opposite, to pursue God more. Don't leave this place today without that. If life is really hard and you don't even know how to put it into words, come pray. Come pray with the ministry team. And you can say that. Life is really hard right now, and I just have everything happening to me all at once. Can you pray for me? Yes. Yes, we'll pray for you. And there's some of you here too that are going, I know I should be serving more in church or differently. Mr. George got an usher meeting right after the service. That's a great team. You can start out there, and it's for men or women. But we have so many different opportunities with life groups coming. If we don't help you transform, if we don't help get you connected so Jesus can transform your life, we're not doing our job. Because we can help with the connection, Jesus does the rest. Right? And this is at any age, at any age. Some of you are young and you're going, man, I'm very careful of the steps because I've got my whole life in front of me, and I want to make certain I'm doing the right steps. We will partner with you and we will pray for you. Yeah. And some of you are the opposite, and you're saying, I've got a few more years under my belt. And I'm not proud of all those years. I'm not proud of all those decisions. We're going to partner with you too. We want to get you connected into grow teams and life groups. And we want to love you. And we want you to have everything that God wants for your life. Let's pray. Father God, may we never shy away from the responsibilities you give us. In accepting your love, may we pursue you the way you pursue us. God, you are the Father of all things, and you are the ultimate example of a Father, and we thank you for it. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, and what he did on the cross, the example he left us on this earth. God, today is the day. Today is the day that we get to move forward, that we get to prepare the rest of our lives to be awesome in your glory and to glorify your name. God, for those of us that there's hard things in our life right now, God, help us not to choose the hard, but help us to choose the love. Help us to pursue you as we know your grace and mercy shines down upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.